age of the earth. That is the big thing today. Now, I know after this session, this day is a little more controversial than, believe it or not, the day before. If I was to go around preaching in churches, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, everyone would agree with me, right? I mean, that's hopefully they would agree with me. But if I was to go around saying, God created the earth in six little 24-hour days just 6,000 years ago, people would go, hey, wait a minute. No. We don't know. We're not sure. The Bible's not clear. Science tells us something different, right? This day is a little more controversial. So, the question, at the end, we will have questions. So, you're going to, if you have a question as we're going through this session, write it down. We'll talk about it at the end. We'll have a discussion about the end. There will be great questions, I believe, generated from this. And like I said yesterday, if you don't agree with something I say, iron sharpens iron. You know where you stand, and you know where you don't stand. And that's what's something you need to know in life. So, this session, okay, if you look at your schedule, this session is going to be talking about the age of the earth from a theological standpoint. Theologically. The next session will be all about the scientific evidence for a young earth, evidence for an old earth, things of that nature. This one will be more theological. The next one will be more scientific. And then after that, we have the flood, and then dinosaurs. Because dinosaurs are awesome. All right. So, first off, does anyone know what sola scriptura means? Scripture alone. This was the backbone of the Reformation. You know, the Protestant Reformation? Scripture only. The Catholic Church had been teaching many traditions, many things that weren't found in Scripture, and the whole purpose of the Reformation was to get back to the Scripture alone. Only use Scripture for Scripture. So, the question is, does the age of the earth matter? And can we really know for sure how old the earth is? I mean, is it really relevant? Is it just some dumb theological controversy that people argue about for no reason? Okay. Carl Sagan, I had this quote yesterday. Carl Sagan said what? The secrets to evolution are time and death. All right? Remember, evolution without time has no grounds to run on. It has nothing. Evolution minus the time is just, there's nothing there. Because you need the time to add chance. So, let's see here. I'm going to give you, I think, eight reasons, right? There's eight on your notes. Eight reasons why the Bible clearly teaches and why the earth is just 6,000 years and not millions of years. What does the word day mean in Genesis? How many of you guys have ever heard that the days in Genesis are not literal 24-hour days? Have you guys ever? Ah, good. Alright. Now, any word, depending on its context, has different meanings. For instance, your backs are on the back of the chair, and some of you are in the back of the room, and I could leave and not come back. Right? I just said back about five or six different times, and each one had a different meaning depending on its what? Context. Back in the day. What would that mean? Way back when? Back in my father's day? Or, as in the Bible, in the New Testament, the coming day of the Lord? What's that talking about there? Second coming, right? Alright? So there's several different meanings. So the question is, what does this Hebrew word, which is the word yom, what does it mean? Can anyone guess? Now, this is a trick question. Actually, it's not. It's very simple. Can anyone guess what the number one meaning of the word day is? Day! Good! That's good. The number one meaning of the word day is day. A literal 24-hour day. That's the number one meaning. All right. So what is... I know, it's on there. Good. You're good. All right. The question is, what does the word day mean? Now, flip to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you guys something. Let's flip there, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to start the morning off. Dear Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we can come and study your word. I thank you for the people that want to study your word. Lord, show us clearly and plainly what your word teaches. I thank you that your word is true in every area it touches. And Lord, I pray that this morning we would understand the importance of the age of the earth, and that it's not about science. It's not about creationism. It's not about evolution. but it's about your word. And it's about, do we trust it or do we not? I thank you, God, for this morning. Let us learn a lot. Let us grow in knowledge and in grace, Lord. Hear our prayer. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Verse 3. Circle this verse. Underline it. Then God said, let there be what?
Light.
And there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from darkness, and God called the light what?
Day.
And the darkness he called what?
Night.
And there was evening, and there was what?
Morning,
the first day. Alright. Now, I want to show you guys some stuff here. Context. Number one on your thing, number one on your blank, is context. Now, these are going to kind of go in an order of the importance. Now, this one should be at the top importance, but just for the sake of our persuasive PowerPoint, I'm putting number one. Number 10 is the number one reason why the Bible teaches the young earth. Context. Yom with numbers. Now, if you look at your Genesis, look in your Bible, and what does that last three words in verse number 5 say?
The first day,
right? Look at verse 8. What's it say? The second day. Good. And look, go through there and look. The second day, look at verse 13. The what? The third day. The fourth day, verse 23, says the fifth day, and so on and so forth, the sixth day. Now, when the word yom, which is the Hebrew word here, is used with a number, 1, 2, 3, first, second, third, stuff like that, 359 times in the Bible, guess what it means? A literal 24-hour day. When the word yom is used with the term evening and morning. In fact, no, this is just alone. When the words evening and morning are used alone, look at that. Look at verse 5. And there was what? Evening, and there was what? Morning, the first day. When the words evening and morning are used alone, they always mean, 38 times in the Old Testament, a literal 24-hour day. But get this. When the words evening and morning are used with the word yom, they mean a literal 24-hour day. 23 times in the Old Testament, it means a 24-hour day. Are you kind of seeing a pattern here? So the context is beginning to tell us clearly that the word yom here in Genesis means what? A 24-hour day. Let's go on. The word night with yom. Look at verse number 5. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called what?
Night.
When night is used with the word yom 53 times in the Old Testament, it means, can anyone guess? A 24-hour day. So, let's look what the writer of Genesis is trying to tell us. Look at verse 3. Evening, morning, number, day. Verse 8. Evening, morning, number, day. Verse 13. Evening, morning, number, day. Verse 19. Evening, morning, number, day. Verse 23. Evening, morning, number, day. And the last one, day 6. Evening, morning, number, day. Could that be any clearer, context-wise, what the meaning of the Hebrew word is trying to tell you there? That's pretty clear. I don't know how you can get around that. Now, that's context. That's the number one reason. So, next thing is scholars. In fact, if you don't just take my word for it, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, by the way, for anyone who wants to study Hebrew, great lexicon. They say that in the context of Genesis, this very well-respected, very highly scholarly dictionary of the Bible, they say, guess what? You can't get around it. Genesis means, in Genesis, the word day means a 24-hour day. There's also other Hebrew words that mean long periods, such as olam and equidem, or whatever that word is. They mean long periods. There's other words that the author could have used to mean long periods of time. Now, why only question what the word means, what the word day means in Genesis? I mean, how many of you guys have ever been to a Bible study where they talk about, you know, I think Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho for 7,000 years. How many of you guys are, that never happens, right? How many of you guys have been Jonah in the whale? Jonah was in the whale for, well, we don't know. The word day can mean long periods of time. I think Jonah was in the whale for 3 million years. Ever had that happen? In fact, there's more contextual evidence that the word, I'll go back to that. We'll go back to it. There's more contextual evidence that the word day in Genesis means a day more so than any other place that I can find in the Old Testament. Did you catch that? There's more evidence in the context of the Hebrew that the word day in Genesis means a literal 24-hour day than any other place in the Old Testament. Now, why are we stressing the importance on the word day? Okay, if you're going to try to combine millions of years and evolution with the Bible, where do you do it? Where do you go to? You can't go to the genealogies, because you can't plug in and say, well, Adam lived 900 and some odd years. Well, those years may not have been years. They may have been long periods. You can't do that. Can't plug it in there. You can't plug it in anywhere else in the history of the Bible, because that's all history. So where are you going to plug in millions of years into the Bible? Well, the only option is in the word day here, in the beginning of Genesis, because nothing else has happened yet. So that's why people always say, well, Genesis had to be long days because science tells us the earth is millions of years old. But let me give you another reason. Number two was scholars. First one was context. Number two is scholars. By the way, speaking of scholars, let me read you this. This guy, I won't read you the whole quote. This guy does not believe in a literal interpretation of Genesis. However, he makes the statement that, so far as I know, there is no professor of Hebrew or Old Testament in any world-class university who does not believe that the writer of Genesis intended to convey to the readers that the ideas of creation took same place in a series of 6 days, which were the same days as 24 hours. When you read Genesis, I challenge you, go home and read it, read Genesis chapter 1, and come back and show me where you got the idea of millions of years. I can't find it. It doesn't say it. When you read it, superficially, when you just read the scripture alone, sola scriptura, you find it means a literal 24-hour day, the same time, period, days as we have today. So, by the way, he's at Oxford, yet he does not believe in a literal interpretation himself. 2 Peter 3:8. Someone go look that up. Someone look that up. I hear this all the time. All the time. 2 Peter 3:8. Good. A day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day, right? How many of you guys have heard that before? Right. Now, Sean, doesn't this mean that the days are thousands of years? Well, okay, look at this. I just want to point this out here. A day is like 1,000 years, right? Did you read that next statement? 1,000 years are like a day. They kind of cancel themselves out, if you didn't catch that. But however, this has absolutely no creation context. Who knows what he's talking about here?
Waiting for your prayers.
Waiting for your prayers. Close. Heaven. The second coming. They're waiting for Jesus to come back. And Peter says, guys, don't worry. His promise is true. He's coming back. This has no creation context. And in fact, I go back to what I said earlier. If you apply this, remember, the whole thing is, are you inconsistent or are you consistent with your theology? If you say the days in Genesis have to be thousands of years because of this verse, then why don't you apply that to other days? Why question what the word day means in Genesis? Why not apply it to Jonah or Jesus? Guys, Jesus was in the grave for 3,000 years. In fact, he's still there because it's 3,000 years. You see what I'm saying? If you apply this verse to Genesis, don't be inconsistent. Apply it to other verses as well. By the way, no creation context. And let me say this. People say this all the time. You cannot, I repeat, write this down. You cannot use a Greek phrase to translate a Hebrew word. Alright? The Old Testament was written in what? New Testament was written in what? Greek. You cannot use a Greek phrase to translate a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word, yom, in Genesis, clearly 100% means a 24-hour day. Let me give you another reason. How many of you guys have heard this? Wait a minute, Sean. The sun wasn't created until day 4. How many of you guys have heard that before? Anyone? A couple. All right, sun wasn't created until day 4. Now, if you look in your Bible, can you... I'll just say it. You know why God didn't create the sun until day 4? Because it contradicts the Big Bang. The Big Bang says the sun came first and then the earth. God says, no. The earth came first and then the sun. By the way, the Big Bang and the Bible are not compatible as well. Anyway, the sun wasn't created day 4. How can you have a day when there's no sun? Good question. Right? Go back to verse 3 in Genesis 1. Someone read verse 3.
Let there be light.
Let there be what?
Let there be light.
Let there be light. Let there be light. What do you need for a day? You need light and darkness and an earth. What do you have in verse 3? Light, darkness, and an earth. And also, go back to consistency. Don't be inconsistent. The grammar for Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 is the same. Evening, morning, number, day. It's the same for this day, day 4, just like it is day 5, day 6, and all the rest. Except for day 7. Day 7 is different. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Okay. Same context. Light and day are both present. Theologians. The early church fathers, practically every church father in the 18th century believed, except with St. Augustine, and that is because he got spiritual clogging of the arteries. At first he believed, if you watch theologians, at first he was very adamant, yeah, sure, instant creation he talked about, God created it in 6 literal days, but as he got older, and older and older, he began to question that. And before he died, he was really flip-floppy and wish-washy about it. That is the only exception. Every other early church father in the 18th century, or no, I'm sorry, not 18th, 17th century, and before the 18th century, believed 6,000 years. Now, what happened in the 18th century that made that change? Can anyone guess? 18th century comes about. Something changes in theology. What happens? You want to guess? The idea of millions of years came in. Not from the theologians, but from science. And people like Charles Lyell, who was a uniformitarian, which we'll talk about later, popularized the idea that the earth was millions of years. It was only then that theologians begin to question what the word day meant in Genesis. Only then. Because they were trying to combine the two. Compromise, like we were talking about earlier. Alright, so that's number 3, theologians. Reformers. Martin Luther, Calvin, they all believed in young earth, 6,000 year age of the earth. By the way, don't always go on what people believe. That's a good hint about what's true, but don't always go about people. Go back to what? Sola Scriptura, what the Bible says. Number 4 is the finger of God. Finger of God. Someone read Exodus 20, 9 through 11. Here, I'll read it. Exodus 20, 9 through 11. This is on the Ten Commandments, right? Finger of God. Written by His hand. Let me read this. Verse 11. I hear this. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Here's what he's saying. And also, if you look in Deuteronomy, he says this. Just as God created in 6 days and rest on the seventh, so are you to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. Keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, let me ask you a question. In the context of Exodus, if the days in Genesis were long periods of time, you would have to work for 6,000 years, and you get to rest for 1,000 years. Work for 6 million years. Rest for another million. Be consistent. Be consistent in your theology. In Exodus, the finger of God says, just as in 6 days God created the earth, so are you to work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. So, with Exodus, you can't get around it. In Genesis, it's 6 literal 24-hour days. Alright, Noah's flood. Once again, don't be inconsistent. Noah's flood, global flood. I talked to one of my friends who's studying Hebrew, and I called him up and I said, hey, just for clarification, the flood, Noah's flood, was it a global or local flood? And he said, Sean, it's incredibly clear. You can't get around it. It's a total global flood. And it is. In fact, if it wasn't a global flood, let me say this, God would be a liar. Every time you look at that rainbow, what's it supposed to remind you? A flood. And God promised not to flood the earth again. Guys, there have been many local floods. Many, many local floods. But there's never been a global flood. God is not a liar. God promised that He would never flood the entire earth again. What's the big deal? Local flood, global flood, what's the difference? Well, guess what? A global flood washes away millions of years. Completely. Think about it. The rock layers, right? You guys have heard it. The rock layers that go, they're supposed to be, the further you go down, the millions of years get further and down. You following me? That's the way it's supposed to be. Global flood does what? Genesis 7:11 says the fountains of the great deep burst forth. There went your nice little geological column you had there, all the millions of years, totally upsets the entire earth. Everything gets laid down from a flood, not from time. Flood totally ruins any geology of millions of years. That is why, if you hold to the belief that the days of Genesis are long periods, then you have to believe in a local flood, because you're not being consistent otherwise. And people like Hugh Ross, who's written many books, great guy, however he holds theistic evolution, he has to say, well, you know, I have to believe in a local flood. Totally unbiblical. Totally unbiblical. It's very clear. The scripture is very clear. Global flood. Alright. Next, that's number five. Number five is Noah's flood. Number six is the gospel. We talked about this a lot yesterday. For those of you who didn't make it yesterday, I'm terribly sorry, but these sessions will be online. You can download them online, and if you really want a DVD, we'll get you one as well. But they'll be online. The fossil record. The fossil record that dates millions and millions of years old has these things. We talked about this yesterday. Cancer, disease, violence, thorns, which means death. The Bible is so clear. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 12, says that through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. Excuse me. Death did not come before Adam. If you hold to millions of years, and you hold to millions of years, you have to say that death came before Adam. Otherwise, you're being inconsistent. That is why millions of years are not compatible with the gospel. Because they put death before Adam. And the gospel clearly says that death came after Adam. And Jesus can conquer the death because it came after Adam. That's a huge one. So, number one is context. Number two, scholars. Number three, theologians. Number four, what was number four? Finger of God. Number five, Noah's flood. Number six, the gospel. Number seven is science. You would not believe how much science there is that supports a young earth, which we'll talk about in the next session. By the way, millions of years is not based on science. It's based on an assumption. And we all know what they say about assumptions and people who assume. Number eight is Jesus. Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. This will blow your mind. This is cool. Matthew chapter 19. The question is, did Jesus believe in a young earth or an old earth? And in fact, he was a young earth creationist. Big surprise, right? It's because he believed the Bible. Matthew chapter 19, and then if you want, write this other verse down, Mark chapter 10, verse 6. It says the same thing. So you think, hey, by the way, let me give you a theological thing. When the Bible records something twice, guess what? That's important. Alright? Mark chapter 6, Matthew chapter 19. We talked about this. How many of you guys remember the marriage thing we talked about on earth? Yeah, a couple of you. Well, at least it's stuck with someone. Alright. Matthew 19. Okay, look at this. This is great. I love Jesus. Jesus is awesome. Look at verse 4. Haven't you read? Haven't you read that at the what? At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. Jesus says, haven't you read the Scripture? At the beginning, He made them male and female. Now, write that verse down. At the beginning. Write that quote down in your notes. At the beginning of creation, He made them male and female. Alright, look at this timetable. Now, this right here is the creation timetable. You have God creates, and on day six you have what? Adam and Eve, right? And then you have the history of the earth. However, an evolutionary timetable starts at the beginning, the Big Bang, about 14 billion years ago, 14.2, it changes every year, big surprise. Then you have the earth about 3 or 4 billion years ago, and then, by the way, that would be the earth being made or evolved or whatever at 4 billion years ago, and then you have Adam and Eve. Now let me say this. There is a huge gap of 14 billion years between the time of the start and humans on the evolutionary timescale. Does that sound to you like the beginning? No, it does not. Jesus' statement only makes sense with a young earth. At the beginning of creation, day six, at the beginning he made them male and female. And then you have the history of the earth. Not Big Bang, billions of years, earth, billions of years, humans. That's not the beginning. That is not the beginning. Jesus believed in a young earth. Isn't that cool? I thought that was neat. Alright. How old is the earth? Well, Genesis chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 11, and we had Heather Runyon do some research. Thank you, Heather. And we'll get this later. This here, you guys are going to get a timeline of the earth. She spent a lot of time and effort put into this. Did a lot of research. And it's the timeline of the earth. We'll get that in a minute. And the earth, if you add the genealogies up, they equal to about 6,000 years. 6,000 years. Now, there is a huge difference between 14 billion years and 6,000 years, is there not? Huge difference. Radically different. Does it really matter? Sean, who cares how old the earth is? No big deal. Does it matter? It's just a small thing. Well, it's all about the authority of Scripture. If you get nothing out of this conference, why did we come here for 3 days to learn about creation and evolution? Why are we here? I'm not a scientist. I really particularly don't care for science that much. I'm not really the best at it. It's not my best field. Why are we here? We are here because of the authority of Scripture. That first DVD we watched at the beginning, some molecular geneticist said, you know, hey, looking at the evidence, it's not about the evidence. It's not. It really isn't. It's all how you interpret the evidence. It's about the authority of Scripture. Let me read you a quote from Martin Luther. By the way, I really like Martin Luther, in case you hadn't known. He had some problems with his theology in some places, but hey, don't we all? Let me read you this quote from him. He had the opposite problem we have today. Today we have to convince people that the earth is young and not millions of years. The Catholic Church had the opposite problem. The Catholic Church said, you know, God's God. Why do you take so long? 6 days? Why do you take so long? They believed he created the earth and everything in one day. And Martin Luther is before them and he makes this statement. By the way, he's bold. He's radical. I like him. He says, get this, if you cannot understand how this could have been done in 6 days, then grant the Holy Spirit the honor of being more learned than you are. Isn't that good? He says, if you can't understand it, grant the Holy Spirit the honor of being more learned than you are. It's not a matter of science. It's not a matter of anything except, do you trust what God says? Do you trust the authority of Scripture? That's what it's all about. And be consistent in your theology. So, does it matter? Yeah, it does. It matters about what God says, and it matters about that verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 35 and 6 says, every word of God is what, Ian? Perfect. Flawless. Every word of God is flawless. Every word. And it's a shield. The next verse says, it's a shield to those who trust in Him. A shield. You can trust the authority of Scripture. It's a shield. Okay. Now, let's see what we have here. Oh, before we start questions, I wanted to show you guys. This blew my mind last night. I was looking at this. You have to write fast. I don't know if you want to write it all down. This is great for references. Does the Bible teach evolution? Well, simple answer, no. Evolution says the sun was before the earth. Genesis says the earth was before the sun. Evolution says dry land before the sea. Genesis says the sea before dry land. Evolution says atmosphere before the sea. Genesis says sea before the atmosphere. Evolution says the sun before the light of the earth. Genesis says the light of the earth before the sun. Stars before the earth. Earth before the stars. You kind of see a trend? Kind of see a trend there? Whatever evolution says, God says the opposite. It's quite funny. You know, God. I think God wrote Genesis because he knew that the theory would come about. So it would be totally contradictory. And it is. The Bible does not teach evolution whatsoever. In fact, it teaches the opposite. Evolution says the earth was at the same time as plants. Genesis says the opposite. The evolution says sea creatures were before land animals. Genesis says the opposite. Earthworms before starfish. And it's going to get in detail. But hey, evolution says Genesis says the opposite. Land animals before trees? God says the opposite. Death before man? God says the opposite. Thorns and thistles before man? God says the opposite. Can I change it? Evolution says cancer before man. Genesis says the opposite. Reptiles before birds? God says the opposite. Land animals before whales? God says the opposite. Land animals before bats? God says the opposite. Dinosaurs before dolphins? God says the opposite. Questions? Age of the Earth?
What? I've also heard somewhere that the Earth is 10,000.
10,000 years. I've heard that too. I believe it's 6,000 because if you add up the genealogies, it comes out to be 6,000. Any others? No questions. Seriously. Did you guys learn something in that session? Good. Good. And the next session is crazy. It's all about science. And you guys get to hear my carbon dating presentation.